Who is a good person? Who is a good person? Have a think for a minute. Maybe Martin Luther King is a good person. Or Nelson Mandela. Or Mother Teresa. They're good people, surely, aren't they? They've done incredible things. Lived great lives. Surely, if someone is good, then those people are good. But what makes someone a good person? Is it that they do things for other people rather than living for themselves? Or is it that they do something great for humanity? Maybe they do their bit to abolish the slave trade, or they do something for the rights of women, or the rights of children. What is it that makes someone a good person? Are you a good person? Are you a good person? And if you are a good person, how good are you? If we had a scale going across the stage from right over here, the best people, the Martin Luther Kings of the world, and down to the bottom of the scale, we've got the worst people in the world, the murderers and thieves and rapists. Then where are you on this scale? Are you somewhere in the middle, about average? Maybe you think you're not very good, you're a bit worse than average. Maybe you think you're all right, a bit better than average. Where are you on the scale? How good are you? Well, we're this morning going to think, we're going to listen to someone who is a good person. Jesus told a story about two people, and he was speaking about 2,000 years ago, in the land of Israel. These two people, the Pharisee and the tax collector, went up to the temple to pray. The Jewish temple to pray. And first of all, the Pharisee, he goes up there. And it's worth knowing something about Pharisees in those days. Pharisees were good people. They were the leaders of the Jewish people in those days. That everyone looked up at these Pharisees and thought, these guys know God's law, they keep God's law, these guys are up here, they're the good guys. And so this Pharisee, he goes into the temple to pray, looks around him, and looks up, and what does he say? He says, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Jews were meant to fast once a week. Go without food once a week. This Pharisee fasts twice a week. He does more than he's supposed to do. Jews were supposed to give away to God a tenth of certain things that they owned. This Pharisee gave away a tenth of everything that he had. He was better than the average. He did more than he was required to do. This Pharisee was a good person. The tax collector, it's worth knowing something about tax collectors. The tax collector, so in the land of Israel at that time, the Jews didn't rule their own land. The Romans had conquered them, and the Romans extracted tax from the Jews. And they used Jews to collect tax. And the Jews who collected tax were seen by other Jews as traitors. These are guys who collect money from us and give to the enemy, to the Romans. Traitors. And not only that, these guys are unclean. They associate with the enemy. They associate with people who aren't Jews, who are unclean. Therefore, they're unclean. Traitors, unclean, and thieves. Because many tax collectors didn't just take the tax that people owed, but more than the tax that people owed. Traitors, unclean, thieves. This tax collector was right down here, the worst of the worst that you can get. And he knew it, and he stood far off, and he wouldn't even look up to heaven. And he beat his breast, and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Too right he stood far off. He was the worst of the worst. How dare he even go into the temple? How dare he speak to God? God, who is pure and holy, this tax collector who is sinful and a thief, how does he get to go and talk to God, have a relationship with God? Stand far off, he shouldn't even be there. Two people, a Pharisee right over here, the best of the best, and a tax collector right over here, the worst of the worst. And yet, here's the surprising thing. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, this man, the tax collector, went back to his home justified. This man went home justified. Now, justified means just as if you've obeyed all God's law. Just as if you've always kept God's law. That's what justified means. So God looks upon this person and sees a person who's obeyed all of God's law. That's what justified means. And the tax collector went home justified in God's eyes, as if he'd obeyed all God's law. Well, that's not just. This guy who's the worst of the worst, who's sinned all his life, who's unclean, how come he gets to go home justified? And the Pharisee? The Pharisee's not justified. He's the good guy. How come he's not justified? Well, let's go back to the story and look in a little more depth and see if we can unpick this a bit. Okay. So you see, the Pharisee thought that he was good. Everyone thought that he was good. But actually, well, here's what Jesus said about Pharisees. You Pharisees, you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside, you're full of greed and wickedness. You see, the Jewish laws at that time, the Jews were God's people. They were clean. They had to be set apart from the other nations. And to show that, they had all these cleanliness laws. To show that they were pure, they cleaned things. They cleaned themselves. They cleaned the cups as a symbol of they are the pure and clean. And you Pharisees, you clean the outside of the cup. But inside, in here, you're not clean. Inside, you're full of greed and wickedness. What else does he say? Jesus says elsewhere, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. You justify yourselves. You say, I'm fine. God looks at me and he sees a good guy. But God knows your hearts. Outside, you look great. Inside, what's going on here? What is going on? If the best of the best is not good in God's eyes, what hope does anyone have? If the best person, the person who seems to be good and obey God, if they're not good enough for God, then what hope has anyone got in themselves? Nothing. No one can make themselves good. No one, no matter how good they are, no matter how good they look, no matter what they do, can make themselves good. If the best of the best are not good enough for God. Now imagine that you have... imagine that I have here a CD which contains everything that you've ever said or thought or done. Would you want other people to see this? No matter how much good stuff there is on here, you wouldn't want anyone, even the person who knows you best, to see what's on here, because there'll be so much that you are ashamed of, wouldn't there? If even the best aren't good enough for God, then what hope have we got? And do you know what Jesus says? Jesus says, even what's hidden, there is nothing hidden that will not be made known. So what's hidden, what's inside, will be made known. Those things that we hide, that we keep in our hearts, will be made known. On the outside, we may look fine. We may do good. But inside, what's in here, that is going to be made, that's going to be played. Your CD is going to be played one day, and everything that you've ever said, thought, or done will be in view. That's not a good thing, is it? If the best of the best aren't good enough. So what about the tax collector? How did he get to go home justified? I mean, was he good in the end? Well, no. On the outside, he was sinful and dirty. On the inside, he was also sinful and dirty. A traitor, unclean, and a thief. But the difference between the tax collector and the Pharisee is he knew that he was dirty. He knew that he was sinful. He knew that he had no hope for God, which is why he stood far off and couldn't look up. He didn't look up because he knew that God, that he wasn't good enough for God. That's the difference. He cried out for mercy. If you cry out for mercy, God has mercy. If you say, God, I can't do it, God will say, yet, you can't. But I will. That's the difference. Someone who knows they're not good enough and asks God to do something about it, God will. Someone who thinks they are good enough, God won't. But isn't that unjust? How can God justify a guy over here, the worst of the worst, a traitor, unclean, and a thief? How can God just let him off all these bad things that he's done? We need to have a look a bit more at Jesus. And what we'll do is we'll have a look at how he died. And we'll see. How Jesus died. So let me read an account by one of the disciples, Luke. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. He was crucified on a cross between two criminals. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." Surely this was a righteous man. Why was Jesus crucified? Not for his own crime. Two people who saw him die, what did they say? One of the criminals, "This man has done nothing wrong." The centurion who saw him die, "Surely this was a righteous man." They saw and recognized Jesus was a good man. Jesus wasn't dying because he was bad, because he'd done crimes, he'd done wrong things. Jesus was perfectly good. And if we saw, and if we had a CD of Jesus' life, with everything that he'd ever said or thought or done, then he would happily watch this with us, ashamed of nothing. I mean, in fact, we do have a CD of Jesus' life right in here, four different accounts of how Jesus lived. And we see that Jesus was perfectly good, that he did always keep God's law, that he always resisted temptation, that he loved people and had compassion on them. He healed diseases. He did good when people tried to kill him for it. He welcomed everyone, no matter who they were, what background they'd come from. He taught people to love God and to love their neighbors. And he forgave the people who killed him. This man surely was a righteous man. The centurion recognized him. So Jesus was completely perfect. He didn't die for his own sin. He died for our sin. You see, when he died on the cross, he took our sin on his shoulders, and he died for that. And an amazing exchange happened. So our CD with all our bad deeds, he took on his shoulders, and he died for those deeds. And he gave us his CD. So that when God looks at us, he sees Jesus' good deeds. That's the exchange that happened on the cross. That's why Jesus died. Jesus died for our sin. And he gave us his righteous deeds. That's our CD. That's what's going to be played back to us if we've put our trust in Jesus. If, like the tax collector, we've come to God and we said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." If we've recognized that we're not up there, but we're down there, and we can't pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and get up there. That's the amazing exchange that happens. God made him who had no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. How do we become good? Only Jesus makes us good. We can't become good by ourselves. Only Jesus makes us good. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that the most loving thing in the world? This is love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for us. That's love. To give us his good deeds, to take ours, so that we might be justified, treated as if we'd always obeyed God's law. So where are you on this scale of goodness? Well, we've seen that we're not up here, that we're right down here, aren't we? And we might be, and we'll be a bit better than the murderers and the rapists and the thieves. We're a bit better than them. Some sins are worse than others. But compared to God's standards, we're a long way off. And Nelson Mandela and Martin Luther King aren't up there. They're down here with us. And the only way that we get up there is by saying, like the tax collector, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Only Jesus makes us good. So who are you? Are you the Pharisee who thinks they're all right? I'm all right. I've done a few little things, but God will overlook them. But generally, I'm an all right guy. Or are you the tax collector who says, I've done some bad things. I know those things are going to be exposed, and I can't pay for them myself. Who are you? Are you going to pay for your deeds yourself? Or are you going to let Jesus pay for them on the cross? Now, there's a chance for us all to meet Jesus more. So as Ollie was explaining at the beginning, there'll be a chance for everyone to go through some uncover discussion groups looking at Jesus' life, an account of Jesus' life written by one of his disciples. And that'll be a chance for anyone to come and join a group and be open and honest and ask whatever questions you have and find out more about Jesus. Please, if you have questions, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus now, please join one of those groups. If you're not trusting in Jesus, if you're not like Mark who put his trust in Jesus all those years ago, it's about a relationship with him. Have you got that relationship? Sign your name on one of these and give it to someone at church. Give it to Ollie or Simon. Maybe pick up one of these things on one of the tables at the back. Jesus, who, why, so what. Pick up one of these things, an account of Jesus' life written by a disciple called Mark. Ask someone here. Don't go away today without having done something about your questions. If you think that everything I've said is rubbish, by all means, come and tell me, and we can have a good chat about it. But don't go home today without having done something about your questions. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song. Dear Father, I thank you for Jesus, who gives everyone the chance to have a relationship with him if only we admit our guilt and ask for mercy. And I pray for everyone here who doesn't yet know you personally, that you might help them to know you. In the name of Jesus, amen.